Hi, my name is Rainer Stropik. I'm here at the Software Quality Days in Vienna, and today we were participating in the so-called Tools Challenge here at the Software Quality Days. The idea of the Tools Challenge is that multiple tools get a common requirement and they have to implement it within one day and show the results in the evening. And in this video, I want to summarize what we have built today. The idea of today's challenge, the first challenge of this event, was that we have a fictitious development team, and this development team has to come up with a mock with a service that is not ready implemented, but the product owners have designed the web API using the OpenAPI standard, so they generated a Swagger file. Let me show you that in an image. We have an API-first approach in this team, so the product owners designed the web API based on a Swagger file. And we decided to take this Swagger file and use a generator to generate a mock, to generate a service implementation. This service implementation should not only be cross-platform and open source, but it should also be the basis for the further service development. Let me show you how we made that. Here I go to Chrome, to my browser here, and launch the Swagger editor. In the Swagger editor, I can upload the Swagger specification that I got here from the conference organizers. And you see on the right-hand side, we get the usual nice user interface with Swagger UI. So we have a nice documentation. And you see the idea here is that we can query speed data from a speedometer service. We can configure this service. And finally, we can query the status of this service. We get some data models down here. So this is the service design first approach. Our idea is that the server is not to be written by hand, but on the contrary, we are using the code generation tool, the code generator from Swagger, to come up with a .NET Core implementation of the server. Let me do that for you. I click here on ASP.NET Core, and what I get is a zip file with the implementation of a stop for the server defined by the Swagger file. So let's go in there into this generated code and copy the code into the directory where I want this thing to live. Paste it. And of course, this entire implementation is based on open source and platform independent tools, so we are not going to use the Visual Studio, although we could, but we are going to use Visual Studio Code, the cross-platform free and open source version of Visual Studio. As you can see, we have now our ASP.NET Core server, and the whole model, the whole data model from the service specification Swagger was generated in this model directory, where we see, for instance, the implementation of the distance data model, and we got generated some controllers, for instance, the speed API controller. You see, that's plain ASP.NET Core web API controller, so we can immediately take this, add some documentation and build upon that. So we don't only get a mock that we have to throw away later on, we get a basis for our further development. Let's try to run this guy. I open the terminal window here, and first we will do a .NET restore to get the necessary packages from NuGet. I'm sure you are familiar with .NET if you are watching this video, so you know what I mean when I say we get some libraries here from NuGet, and now we can run this guy. Let's say .NET run, and this will start the Kestrel web server. Of course, we get some warnings during the build because some XML comments are missing. Well, it's just the beginning of the development, and you see our Kestrel server completely platform independent. We can run that guy in Docker, in Linux, in Azure, wherever we want. It listens on the port 5000. So let's try this one. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to use a plugin, the REST client plugin of Visual Studio Code. And we can, for instance, here try the first API here on the port 5000, our speedometer config service. That was exactly the service that I generated from my Swagger file, and run this guy. And you can see We get no content. Of course we get no content because it's a stub, it's empty. If we try that on the speed data one, we again get no content. Just to show you the point, I'm going to add some really simple demo data here. Let's do that one. Let's add some JSON here, some JSON code, and one it happens that I know it. The current speed is one thing that we have to return. Let's take one, and the average speed is the other property. Let's take two. That should be fine for our demo here. Let's save it. Stop our running server. Rebuild it. Run it again. And now if we go to the REST client here in Visual Studio Code, we can immediately try our service mock, and it should, yeah, it answers, it should return the demo data that we just added. So the whole point of this first demo was to show you the closed loop from the Swagger file by generating the entire server for a platform-independent open source version of .NET Core, run this thing and extend it step by step in a typical agile way, so we can start with a mock, we get quickly up and running, and then we can make it better and better and add all the necessary implementations. This was part one. Let's go on with part two. Our speedometer service needs a speed sensor to get some data, and this will be our next job. We have to generate, or we have to build, a mock-up or a starting point for our speed sensor. The speed sensor should, of course, again, be cross-platform and open source. It should be generated or written quite fast, and it should be the basis for further development. Well, the whole point of this event here is not to showcase the capabilities of ASP.NET and .NET Core, so we are not going to go into the details about .NET Core. Instead, I'm going to focus on how we can quickly implement this guy, but then show how we can handle it, how we can run it and execute it and test it. The first thing, of course, we can run it locally, we can call it, and well, that should be easy and fine. If I have .NET Core installed, it should run on any platform that I want. But it's getting really interesting once we use containers and once we add Docker to the game. What we can do is, as this is .NET Core, we can isolate our service mock, and then later on our implemented service in a container and run it in a container environment, for instance, locally in our development box or our test box. And then we can take exactly that container that we generated and put it out into Microsoft Azure, so we don't have to run our microservices locally, but we can host it in the cloud. I want to show you how I did that. Let's go to Visual Studio Code again and open the bases, the speedsensor.net here, open the base program. I really stripped it down to the very, very minimum what you need to come up with a mock that answers to one or two services. In that case, it can be asked for the current speed sensor value, and we can also set the rotations per minute, and I decided to implement that with two HTTP GET requests. So, as I mentioned before, the point is not here to describe how ASP.NET works. Let's focus on how we can use this to run it locally in Docker, and then push it out into the Azure cloud. Let's open the console directly here in Visual Studio Code and run this guy locally. .NET restore to fetch our packages from NuGet, and then do a .NET run. Okay, this guy comes up. Oops, there is an error. What is the error? I have another window open here where I already started it. I'm very sorry. Let's try it again. Now it should work. It was built successfully, and as you can see, again, without having any dependencies on IIS or any other web server, we are running the web API on port 80. In that case, I decided to use Postman to try this mock locally. Let's run it, and it should come back, yo, with rotations per minute 250 and 10 rotations. That sounds good. So our local execution works fine. What if we want to isolate that in a Docker container, so we can build multiple environments and we can really standardize the entire environment, not just the program. Well, what I did here, I implemented Dockerfile for our speed sensor. This Dockerfile is not built from scratch, but the important point here is that we are basing our Docker container on the official .NET image provided by Microsoft. You can take a look in the Docker Hub. Let's open it up real quickly. Let's go to the Docker Hub and let's look for .NET here. And here we have the official Microsoft .NET image. It's available on Linux and it's also available on various Windows Server versions. It really depends on where you want to run it. If you implement it with .NET Core, it really doesn't matter where you run it. The rest of this Dockerfile is surprisingly simple. What it does, it just copies our environment, our source code, it restores and builds our application, and then when the container is started, it just runs the app that we were just building while building the Docker container. Let's try this guy here. Let's do the Docker build and the appropriate Docker build command. I stored it somewhere here. Let me quickly look that up. Here and here it is, so you don't need to watch me typing. That is our speed sensor. Exactly. And let's change this a bit. Let's call this just speed sensor mock. And let's take the Docker file from the local directory. So, with that, we are just building a brand new Docker image. This Docker image uses the Microsoft .NET official image, it copies the application, and now you can see .NET working its magic. It's pulling down inside the Docker build command, it's pulling down the packages from NuGet, and next we'll watch .NET building the application, generating the .NET assemblies, the DLLs. In a few more moments, we should have the image ready. Okay, that's it. So we can give it a try. We can give it a try by not building it, but running it. What else do we have to do? We have to say it should run detached in the background. We should make a port mapping. Let's quickly look it up here. As you can see, it's listening on port 80. So I want to use it, for instance, I want to run it locally on my machine on port 8081. So I'm doing a port mapping from the container to the host machine here. And then I'm telling the system that, I want to use our newly created image. Let's run this guy. The process is now running, the container is now running in the background because we specified the detach switch, and we can take a look what the container does by taking a look in the logs, and really it's already running. So now we can try whether we can access our speed sensor, here we see it, on the port 8081. Let's go to Postman again. Here is the speed sensor, but this time it's running in the Docker container, and to prove the point, I changed the port here. And again, we do send, and this time, here we are, this time we have the result, but the result is not from my local machine, but it's coming from the Docker container. And the important thing here is that I'm using Docker for Windows here. So it's not just running inside a container, but it's also running on Linux now. You have seen it running on Windows on my local machine, and now it runs on Linux. That's the power of Docker, and that's the power of the combination of .NET and Docker. Once you've got this such an image, I already created one. Let me quickly stop this guy before I'm going on here, because I'm quite sure I will need this port later on. So let's remove this Docker container here, and I want to show you something else. Let's go into the images, and I prepared here it is, a ready-made image. I called it SQDs, like Software Quality Days, and here is the speed sensor. What I did with this speed sensor, I published it on the Docker Hub in my personal account. So if I go to hubdocker.com, you can see that I have my SQD speed sensor here. So, nice, now I have my image out in the cloud, in the Docker Hub. What's the point? Well, the whole point is that we can now go to Azure and spin up a new web app. we can look here in the Azure portal for web app, and here you see web app on Linux. I can hit create, and the whole idea of this is that we can directly here pull down the images that we push to the Docker Hub and run it inside of Azure on a platform as a service service. So we don't have to set up our own Docker host, our cluster. We get high availability and we get platform as a service inside of Azure, and Azure picks up our environment directly from the Docker Hub. I've prepared this one because, well, in the tools challenge we don't have much time. So I'll show you the ready-made service. Here is the service, this one. It's exactly an app service that I launched like you've seen it before. I just gave it a name, speed sensor, hit create, and that's it. And here you see that the Docker container is referencing our image SQD speed sensor. And that's exactly the image that I want to run in Azure. So let's try this guy out. Let's go to our requests again. Here we are. And I already prepared some requests. Here you see the request, and this time it's not going on my local machine, but it's running directly in Azure. And of course, it's also using SSL TLS. Let's run this. And again, it works. It works perfectly fine. It returns the rotations per minute. This time, we get it from Azure. So you've seen in the sample that our .NET Core runs on Linux, it runs on Windows, it runs on local in local containers, and it runs in containers in Azure. This was part two. Now let's go to part three, where everything comes together. The idea of part three is that we now want to test the different layers, the two microservices of our fictitious speedometer application here. I created a small image to show the idea. What we are going to do is we are going to again use our Swagger definition, the API definition, and use a generator. In this case, not a generator from the Swagger project, but in this case, I decided to use Microsoft AutoREST to demonstrate this generator. I think it's a quite good one. This AutoREST will generate, based on .NET Core, a REST client, so we don't have to implement the HTTP calls ourselves, but we've got a nice API and we get all the data model classes directly generated. We can even regenerate the REST client on every build, for instance. Based on that, I decided to go for XUnit to be really open source and really cross-platform. So I created two XUnit data-driven unit tests that can test drive our services. And this, guys, we want to run it locally and we want to run it hosted in the cloud, and of course we want to use Docker and a non-Dockerized version, both in our example here. So let's try that one. Let me quickly, oops, that's the wrong one, I need to go to that one. Let me quickly open in Visual Studio Code the folder that I prepared. Where do I have it? Here I have it. This is the Software Quality Day speedometer. Well, I have to mention something else. I forgot that before. To make things a little bit more difficult for us, the Software Quality Day's organizers gave us a ready-made implementation of the speedometer service. And this speedometer service is running in Java. It's written in Java. So what I did to really mix the microservice environment, having the speed sensor written in .NET Core, you've seen it in part two of this video, and the Java implementation of the speedometer, I again use Docker. I want to show you that before I dive into the details of the unit testing here. Here I have it. So they gave us this jar file here, and I decided that I don't want to run this jar file locally. I don't even know if I have Java installed on my machine. I'm not a big Java guy. I'm more into TypeScript, JavaScript, C Sharp, and so on. So I need Docker. So let's run code on this directory and show you what I've done. What I did, I created a Docker file that is based on the ready-made OpenJDK image in the Docker Hub. I decided to use the Java runtime environment based on Alpine Linux, and all I did is I copied the jar file plus a configuration file that you can see here. It's just a plain JSON file that references our speed sensor in the Azure cloud, and then it uses Java inside of the container to spin up the speedometer service. That's the whole point here. So if I want to run this speedometer service for testing purposes locally, I don't have to install Java for that. I'm going to use my locally installed Docker for Windows. I've prepared the command line that I need for that, and I'm going to show you how that works. So again, I'm using the built Docker image, and I'm listening on, let's say, port 80, 8082. Well, we didn't have 8082. I use a new port to prove the point that it's really running and it's really starting new. So let's take a look, Docker logs C3F, so you really see that this is a service written in Java, and now I'm going to try to access this guy here. For that, I'm going to use my REST client again, and let's take that one. But we decided to listen on 8082, so I have to change the port a little bit here and run this guy. And this one, this is really coming from within Docker container, and I can prove that to you by running the logs again. You see, you get here some verbose logging that really shows that the request has hit the Docker container. So I'm running a mixed technology microservice infrastructure here just by using the power of Docker. Let me quickly kill this guy again. Let's take a look. Here it is, RM, and get rid of it. Okay. Why did I get rid of it? Because I have a ready-made service running in the cloud. What I did, I took my Docker container here and again used the power of app services, of Microsoft Azure App Services Web Apps for Linux, and I pushed my Docker container into the Docker Hub, and from there I created a hosting environment in the Azure cloud. So I have my speedometer written in Java connected to my speed sensor written in .NET Core, both running in Azure, both running in containers. And my unit test will use these deployments in the cloud. To be honest, I have all my servers in the cloud. I typically don't run servers on my local machine. I could if I'm, for instance, in the train and I'm offline or things like that, but I'm really a big friend of Azure, and therefore I love running my services here in Azure. So let's take a look at the unit test. Here is the unit test. As you can see, we don't have any client code here. There is no file that is called something like speedometer client or things like that. Well, the reason is that I want to generate the speedometer client with the generator that is using the JSON file. So it's using the Swagger metadata of our web API to generate the client code. Let's run this guy. If we run this guy, we get first the modals directly from the Swagger file, as it was, for instance, generated by hand if we have a web API first approach, or it could even come out of something like Swashbuckle for .NET, which generates Swagger based on your real C# implementation. And here we have our iSpeedometer client and the Speedometer client, and now we can use this client to build our tests, to build our XUnit tests. And in that case, I already got this guy. Let me quickly get rid of these things here by doing a .NET restore and doing a .NET build. Okay, it should build, yeah, without warnings, and reopen this file, and hopefully this goes away. No, it goes not away, but the errors are not there anymore. It didn't reread the folder yet, but that's not a problem. As you can see, we have here plain vanilla XUnit tests. We have a theory. Theory is used for data-driven unit tests. And this unit test data, this reference data, was provided to us by the organizers of the Software Quality Days. So we had to test against these values. And here you see how nice we can now program against this service. We can just say configure speed sensor. This is a method provided by the API. And the auto rest tool generated this nice client here, the speedometer client, based on the Swagger metadata. So let's try to run these tests. First, run it locally, .NET test. It should spin up the XUnit test runner, and we can see, yes, it uses the deployment in Azure, and yeah, that's it, that's what I wanted to see. We have in total 8 tests, and all the tests passed, and no one failed. Let me prove that it really works by messing up here a little bit. and doing the .NET test again. And now at least one test should fail, and here we have it. Expected was 31.666 and we got 31.665, and that's clearly an error. So we see we have one failed, and that's not good. So we have to fix our test again. Here it is, and it should now again run locally and it should run fine. Of course, what we could do is we could now put also the testing code, the XUnit testing code, into a Docker container. That would look something like that. We would really again use the Microsoft.NET official Docker image again to restore, build, and do the .NET test inside of the container. And we could also use Docker Compose to build a multi-container environment that we can easily run on our local development box. It would build the local test container, it would link it to the speedometer container, which is written in Java. This is the Docker container that we created a few minutes ago. And this speedometer Java container would again go to the speed sensor, which is a Docker container. We could do that, but I don't want to show that here in this video. You can try it if you want, it really works nice. What I want to do is I want to check in the code. Well, in fact, I already checked it in to Visual Studio Team Services. Let me show you what I did here. Here I have a Visual Studio Team Services environment where I checked in the code that you have just seen. Let me show it to you. This is the test, and I'm sure you will recognize this test immediately. This is exactly the data-driven test that I was showing you. And now I want to run this test in the cloud. Well, to be more specific, I wanted to show an even more elaborate scenario. So what I did, I created a test agent running here on my local box. So my local development machine is now a build agent for Visual Studio Team Services. The nice thing here, and this is the point that I want to make, this agent can run hosted by Microsoft. I've already shown the hosted build agent here at Software Quality Days multiple times, so this is nothing new for the attendees here. So I decided to run the agent locally. You can run the agent on Windows, as I do here, but you can equally run it on Linux. So you can use the agent, it's cross-platform, you can use the agent to build, test, and run all your Java, .NET Core, Docker tools, and so on, based on a Linux agent. Well, what I did here, I hooked this guy up here running at the hotel in Vienna with the Visual Studio Team Services account. And with that, I can go to build and release and run our tests in the cloud. Let me quickly queue a new build here. And while we are waiting, I'm going to show you how this build looks like. I'm going to use the test queue build, the test queue. This is the queue that is linked to my local machine, and hit OK. And now Visual Studio Team Services will talk to my local machine and run the test. We will get back to that one later on, but in the meantime, I would like to show you how the build process was made. So I go here to the builds, and here I hit edit. And what you see is a nice little build here. What I did to prove some points is, first, I want to run the speedometer service. I want to run the speedometer service in a Docker container just to show that we can even spin up Docker containers or build images or whatever we want to do with Docker inside of a build or release pipeline. In that case, I'm spinning up the Software Quality Days J speedometer service and linking it to port 8081. Then, next one, I'm going to do a .NET restore. Next one, I'm going to do the .NET test. But please note that here, I'm using the -XML option of .NET test to produce test results in XML format from XUnit. Then, I'm going to publish these test results with the XUnit format and publish it in the hosted build controller, in the VSTS build results, so I can take a look whether my data-driven XUnit tests really work. And at the end, I'm going to stop the speedometer Docker container, and hopefully everything should be cleaned up by then. So let's go back to our running build, and whoa, we got a lot of green checks, and this is exactly what I like to see. Let's scroll up a bit and take a look at what happened here. And that one, you see, for instance, that it successfully started the Docker container on my local box. Why on my local box? Well, the build agent is running on my local box, so I'm really using the Docker agent, the Docker host, installed on my local box. And this is tech, from a technology perspective, quite fascinating, because we are now running, we are driving the build from the cloud, we are talking to my local Windows machine, which runs the build agent. The build agent then uses the Docker client to talk to a Linux server running in Hyper-V on my local machine, where the Docker host is running. And this Docker host is then spinning up the container hosting our Java speedometer service. And then, nothing special, we are doing the .NET restore, we are running the tests, we are publishing the test results, everything is green, and at the end, we can tear down our Docker container again. So let's take a look at the build results. Here we have them. We have the test results, 8 passed, that's exactly what I wanted to see. We can go to the detailed reports here, we can show all the test outcomes, not only the failed ones, and with that, we are done with the entire environment. Let me quickly go back to my slides and sum up a little bit. The whole point of this video is to show that Microsoft really loves open source now. You have seen that I have been using in this demo only open source and cross-platform technologies. Starting with .NET Core, I used Java, I used Visual Studio Code as my development environment, I used Docker for Windows, I used Linux containers, I used the Windows platform, and so on. So Microsoft is not only saying, but they are really acting on open source Linux and Docker. But for me personally, it's also important that Microsoft is not just taking from the community and open source, but Microsoft is also investing in open source. You've seen that Microsoft made the C# compiler open source. You've seen that the Visual Studio Code environment is open source. You've seen that Microsoft created ready-made Docker images and published them on the Docker Hub to really be a vital part of this whole open source movement and community. And you may ask yourself, well, Microsoft is a company that wants to earn money. How are they going to earn money? Well, it's the cloud. Microsoft is so sure that the Azure cloud, that cloud services like Visual Studio Team services are so good that you will want to run your code in there. I have my own company, it's called Software Architect. We are running all our servers in Microsoft Azure and using Visual Studio Team services so we can reduce the administrative overhead to an absolute minimum. And with that, I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I hope this demo was interesting for you. I will put this video on my blog, and very likely on my blog you will also see a link to the GitHub repository where you can download the sample code, and if you want, you can try the sample your own. Thank you. See you next time. Bye.